Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the January 21st, 2024 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday in Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Are you listening? God is doing a new thing. Will you join in?
Yes, we will follow.
Listen, did you miss it? God calls us again to build the kingdom of heaven. Will you join in?
Yes, we will be builders of the kingdom.
Wait, did you catch that? Again, God calls us to declare the good news to those in need. Will you join in?
Yes, we will declare the good news with our voices.
And still God calls. God never quits calling us to live and to give abundant life. Will you join in?
Yes, we will join with God in sharing the gracious gift of abundant life with the world.
We respond to God's loving and persistent call with a loving and persistent yes. A yes for us, a yes for our neighbors, and a yes for our world to be transformed by the good news that God's kingdom has come. Amen.
Next is the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Grant us wisdom, grant us grace.
a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction.
Next is the hymn, Thy Word.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
New Testament reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is coming near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went on a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with the hired men and followed Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My sermon will focus on the first reading from the Old Testament, where we focus on Jonah. Becoming the people of God a second time. Will we go or will we stay? The story of Jonah begins innocently enough in the Old Testament. With the first words, "One day the Lord spoke to Jonah, son of Amittai. God said to him, 'Go to Nineveh.'" To us, it sounds like an easy instruction to go to any city, like, for instance, go to Seattle. Good luck doing that on Alaska Airlines these days with some of the things going on. I tried. I got there late. My bag went on to my destination in Tennessee, and I caught up with it 2 days later. For Jonah to hear, "Go to Seattle," we think of it, oh, this is easy. You just head that direction. Or go to Denver. But to Jonah, for him to hear God say, "Go to Nineveh," was a curse. Nineveh was a wicked city. 120,000 people live there, all of them from Jonah's perspective as evildoers, people who lived wrongly, people of little or no regard in his mind. Jonah hated the Ninevites. They were enemies to him. And now God was sending Jonah to them. Jonah doesn't argue with God. Jonah doesn't plead his case. I don't want to go. I really don't like these people. We don't hear any of that kind of dialogue whatsoever. He just simply, when he's told to go north to Nineveh, turns and goes south. He goes to Tarshish, gets on a tour boat and thinks God is in his rearview mirror and I have no more worries about that. Ever try to outrun God? How foolish. How foolish. In a matter of hours, a violent storm develops for this tour boat. It's being tossed around like a toy in the sea, and grown men who know the sea are crying, thinking, this is it, we're going to die. They were praying to their various gods to save them. And then Jonah steps forward to say, by the way, I think I caused this storm by doing what my God didn't want me to do. I think it's my fault. God told me to go to Nineveh, and I went the other direction. So the sailors have an easy remedy for that, and they just simply take Jonah and drop him overboard the side of this ship. And there he's swallowed by a big fish. I know you know the story. You've learned it in Bible school. You've taught it to kids in Bible school. And mostly we sing about Jonah and the whale. But if you do a little more textual work, it's really a big fish. He's swallowed by a big fish. And then 3 days later, this big fish belches him up on the shoreline. Whew, what a trip that would be. And we thought our waiting for our next flights was something. Imagine in the belly of a big fish. So that's our first lesson story today. And then God gives Jonah a second chance. That's what the verse that we read tell him. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, and proclaim the message that I give to you. And so this time Jonah sets out for Nineveh. And he gets there, and he preaches, and they hear the message, and they stop doing what they've been doing. And they turn it around and listen to what Jonah has said to them. Now, I know every parent, every grandparent here would say, if only the kids I am related to would listen like these people and stop what they're doing, they would save a lot of problems. It would have been easier for Jonah to go to Nineveh the first time, wouldn't it? It reminds me that when my children were a little younger, I would have said to Sarah, hey, Sarah, wouldn't it have been a lot less painful if you'd have cleaned your room instead of being grounded for 3 days and then doing the job of cleaning your room? Or to my son, Matt, wouldn't it have been easier to turn in the homework that you already completed, is in your backpack, but you never gave it to your teacher, and now you have D's and F's? Wouldn't it have been easier to do it that way? Do the work, turn it in right away? We parents and grandparents, we love to say, oh, just listen to this story I have to read to you. It's about Jonah figuring it out. God doesn't give Jonah any such lecture. Not one word like this. God gives Jonah a second chance. Jonah makes the most of this second chance that he can. He walks into that crowded city and begins proclaiming the message that God had told him to speak. And their reaction, as they hear Jonah say, people of Nineveh, you've got 40 days and then God's going to destroy your city. They heard those words and said, "Whoop! We better change some things around here. Where we're cheating others, we better stop cheating them. Where we're lying to others, we better stop cheating. We better stop selling the property in California that's shorefront property at the edge of Nevada. We better stop doing those kind of sales." They stop doing these bad things. Not only just the peasants, not only just the regular peoples in town, but as well the king too. And when God saw what they did by stopping their bad behavior, God changed his mind and didn't destroy the city. They were given a second chance. So underlying this story about Jonah and a tour boat and a big fish and him preaching to Nineveh, there are multiple choices of things that we can say. The story's about this, or is it about that? Or yet again, is it about something else? Choice one, for some people, as they hear this story, as they tell this story, they know the part, they focus on the part about Jonah being swallowed by the big fish. And for them, they focus on the incredible miracle that happens, that Jonah survives this wild experience. Can you imagine a big fish coming ashore and then belching him out like, yuck, I don't want you. It's a miracle. Choice two. Others understand that this story is about God's grace. It is God's desire to give sinful people like you, me, for Jonah, a second, a third, a fourth, or a hundredth chance. For them who read it this way, this is a story about forgiveness, God's rich and wide and deep forgiveness. But now, choice three, still others believe that the story is about God's grace and God's desire. Oops, I'm sorry, let me get the right line here. No, it wasn't caused by my bifocal because I have gradient lenses here. Okay, here we go. Choice three. Others believe that the point of Jonah's story is that we are each called as prophets like Jonah, that each of us are called to proclaim God's loving purpose to everyone we meet. And when we do, they have the chance to respond to that message and know God like we know God. So for them, this is a story of Jonah and evangelism, of speaking the good news that God's bringing to them. All of these options, these choices are good and very appropriate understandings of this story. But I think there's something more at work here as well. And I would like to focus on that. The focus I put is on the second chance that God gives Jonah and the second chance that God gives the people of Nineveh. It is through the second speaking that I think is the most depth of understanding this story about Jonah's life and in preaching to the people of Nineveh. Choice four, the fourth possibility. I wonder if the message of Jonah's story is that every one of us is called by God to go to some sort of Nineveh that changes occur, and that we're resisting it, if not even fighting against it. And that's when we hear the second time where God speaks. Our second time might be a place that perhaps is a new job offer that says, you know, you live in St. Helens. You live in the Northwest. Well, what if you were to pack your bags and move to cold and windy Chicago to take on a new job, take on new possibilities? How would we resist that call? But wait, I'll not stay in touch with my friends. But wait, I have to do so much work to pick up and move to Chicago. Some of us are faced with choices like that. God may speak a second time to us that it's about a place. Our Nineveh is a place that we're fighting against. Our second time, maybe where God speaks, is not a place itself, but it might be people. Perhaps there are neighbors who have moved into your neighborhood. They're new to the Northwest. They're new to the way that this neighborhood thinks and does things. I ran into a story just like this, of a neighbor new to the area. They had bought a large parcel of land there was some fall to the land, which meaning, you know, parts of it were higher, parts of it were lower, and they built this monster retaining wall. And on this country road where three neighbors lived to this point, now a fourth is coming in, but they're not from around here. And after their house was built, it looks like an office building out in rural Tennessee, they lit it up where there was never a light post on the road, so it was always dark at night until this new neighbor showed up and built this new home that looks like an office. And now there are 12 very bright lights that light up the night at that house. They regularly have guests and parties. And now where the country road was nice and pristine, now there are often cars parked along the side, and sometimes it's really hard to even get one vehicle down the road beyond them. So sometimes it might be people. People who've moved in, workmates that join the company, and they just don't seem like the kind of people you want to associate. Maybe they're people of color. Maybe they're people of a different faith. Maybe they're people of who have different lifestyles than your own, and you simply are not going over there with a plate of cookies to be the welcome wagon to say, I'm so glad you moved to the neighborhood. You'd rather bring the moving vans and say, please, get on down the road to another place. Well, what if the whale swallows you? And what if your life takes on a terribly bumpy turn? What if you end up desperate and need the help of others, and it is these new people in your neighborhood are the ones who come to help you? So the second time where God speaks to us might not be a place. It might just be people, and people we don't like to associate with. Another possibility where our second time where God speaks might not be a place or a people, our Nineveh of sorts might be an idea or even a way of thinking. God might be calling you and me to open up our mind, to change our position on a particular controversial subject. You think of yourself as a principled person, but maybe you're just stubborn, like Jonah. Jonah being set in his ways, I will do certain things, and there are other things I will not do. I will not go to those Ninevites. I will not say this message to them. But God may be nudging you and me in new ways, a new direction that you can't let go of the old ways and can't abandon your very righteous ship. To do so would be, in your mind, perhaps to align yourself with the enemy, like Jonah aligning himself with the Ninevites. I hate these people. I hate what they do. I hate who they are. It might be your position on war. It might be on homosexuality. It might be on immigration and the southern border. It might be an attitude on divorce. Something that you or I simply won't or cannot change. You think you may hold a position on these issues, but maybe the position is holding on to you. Our second time where God speaks could sometimes be a personal habit. Perhaps some secret sin that has crept into life and now has gotten such a grip on you that there's a sense that God's calling you to let it go. Do something new. Make new choices for yourself. But from within, through your whole being, even yourselves, you don't want to change. For many, every time God calls you and me to head north, you get on a boat and head the other direction. What would it cost you to change your lifestyle? Perhaps a more pertinent and appropriate question is, what will it cost you to remain the same? Jonah was at a crossroads, and he chose to follow God's call to Nineveh. It took that second time of God speaking to him before he changed and headed that direction. And when we're focused on change, there are therapists that say that there are only two things that make us change. One is love, and the way love works is a way of melting us, molding us, filling us, and then using us. And the other thing of change is pain. We will move when it hurts. We will move when it burns too much. We will move when it costs us too much of pain. If choices today are causing you pain or keeping you from love, then it's probably time. Time to go to your Nineveh like Jonah did. You've been very kind to listen this morning. You always are. Our pattern at Plymouth Presbyterian Church is to respectfully listen to the sermon, sing a hymn, have our closing prayer, and then go home. But today, I want to ask you to pause, to meditate for a few moments. Meditate on where you are and where God is calling you to be. And after some time of meditating, I'd like to invite you to go there. Go the direction that God is calling you to go. So in this holy moment, let us pause for a time. That as this second time that God is speaking to each of us to go to our Nineveh, whatever that Nineveh may be, we get back to that question I started with. Will we stay or will we go? Let's pause, closing our eyes, and just meditate on this. Join me. In your bulletins is a litany of response. Join me in these words. Though often misunderstood, often held captive by fabricated realities, our souls long for peace.
Oh God, we long for your presence. We long for peace.
We run without a destination, surrounded by highways of turbulent noise. We're tired, worn, and battered, and our souls long for joy.
Oh God, we long for your presence. We long for joy.
Through it all, in it all, and around all of it, choose to love the astounding teaching of the Messiah, to look to experience peace, joy, and joy. Even in the midst of disappointment, war, injustice, or poverty. Allow your soul to become acquainted with the one who changes hard challenges into opportunities for transformation and for growth.
Peace and joy are possible in the presence of the Savior. In spite of the world's challenges, we choose peace. We choose joy. We choose to follow you, Lord.
Amen.
Next is the hymn, I Danced in the Morning.
Thank you.
Beloved disciples, friends of our Lord and Savior, go forth today in the assurance that whether you answer the first time, the second time, or even the 100th time, God never stops calling. God never stops guiding. God never stops forming you, because God's love never fails. Thanks be to God. Amen.